So about 7 months ago, we started preaching through various psalms or songs. This morning, we are concluding our series in the psalm with Psalm 150. And many of you that have walked with us on this journey may be saying, "Praise the Lord." And that would be very fitting with our psalm today. Praise the Lord is hallelujah. Praise the Lord, we will see in Psalm 150. So together, the last five psalms of this songbook, what are known as the Hallelujah Chorus, they begin with each psalm, 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150, begin with "Praise the Lord." And they end with "Praise the Lord." So this is an exaltation. So this songbook, the last five psalms in this songbook, call the people of Israel to look back, even through their lamenting, through their hardships, with gratitude for God's steadfast love and covenant-keeping faithfulness to them throughout their history. From the delighting in the word of the Lord that we find in Psalm chapter 1, to the promise of a forever king's son found in chapter 2, to the distress and the difficulty of life, Psalm 88 ends with, "Darkness is my only companion or friend." How many of you can say that this morning? I hope none of you, but I know it's a tough season for some. So distress and difficulty. But as we get to book 3 and 4, and five, we see this, or four and five in the Psalms, we see a hope that is interweaved throughout, a call to praise God, which is clear. The ending of Psalms was meant to give the Israelites joy and hope in the expectation of the coming one true King, who is Jesus. It is a fitting reminder for us as we enter into this Christmas season. What should our posture be toward God, knowing that Jesus Christ has come and that the promise has been fulfilled? That the one promise of one who would come, the King that would come, that would be the King of kings and the Lord of lords, what should our heart be towards the Lord in this moment? It should be of joy, that of rejoicing. It should give us confidence in the promises of God. It should give us hope filled with expectation. And it most definitely should end and begin and end with praise. That we would praise God for all of these things, that we would rejoice even in the midst of our lamenting, that we rejoice and praise God in the midst of our suffering and trials and tribulations, or maybe for some of you here this morning, everything's just going fantastic. And you can praise God in that because that's such a small season sometimes. Spurgeon says this about the ending of Psalms. He says, "We have now reached the last summit of the mountain chain of Psalms. It rises high into the clear azure, and its brow is bathed in the sunlight of the eternal world of worship. It is a rapture. The poet prophet is full of inspiration and enthusiasm. He slays not to argue, to teach, to explain, but cries with burning words, 'Praise Him, praise Him, praise ye the Lord.'" That is true. There's no argument here for doctrine. There's no teaching of theology. There's no explanation of anything in this Psalm 150. Only burning words of praise. So let's read Psalm 150 together and prove my point. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Yes, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I know that there are some in this room who can find no joy or no reason, it feels like, in their heart to praise the Lord this morning. Lord, I pray that this psalm would serve as a reminder that no matter the circumstance, no matter what is happening in our lives, that we can praise the Lord for His infinite greatness. Not because of who we are, but because, Lord, of who You are and what You have done on our behalf. Lord, Your deeds are mighty. Your greatness, Your excellence is great. Lord, You are worthy of our worship. So may we exalt in this morning. May we find ourselves encouraged in the midst of the Psalms that are full of lamenting and pain and just disillusion, in lostness, in the crying out to You, "Where are You, God?" Like in this midst of this reminder this morning that we can praise You even in those circumstances. So help us this morning, Lord, for in this season to praise the Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My main takeaway this morning for us as a congregation is this, that everyone, everywhere, with every expression, praise the Lord. Everyone, everywhere, with every expression, praise the Lord. So I have four observational questions for us this morning. My first observational question is this: where are we to praise the Lord? My second observational question is, why are we to praise the Lord? My third question is, how are we to praise the Lord? So where are we to praise the Lord? Why are we to praise the Lord? How are we to praise the Lord? And who is to praise the Lord? So the first question is answered in the first verse. Where are we to praise the Lord? What is the answer? Everywhere. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate that. He's up front. I think he felt the need to talk. Yeah, it's good. That was not a rhetorical question, so I appreciate that. Where are we to praise the Lord? The answer is everywhere. We are to praise God in His sanctuary. We are to praise Him in His mighty heavens. Your Bible might say firmament. That is where God established in Genesis 1, 6 through 8, from horizon to horizon, the expanse of the sky into the heavens that God spoke into existence. That is where we are to praise the Lord. So we are to gather together in His sanctuary. So at churches all across the nation today, right, from East Coast to West Coast and all across the world, will be gathered in places like this, in sanctuaries all across, in gymnasiums, some in people's homes, depending on where they are. But they're gathered in sanctuaries. Lord's Day is an opportunity to prepare us for what we will see and do in heaven. Our excitement will carry forth to the people that we are called to shepherd, even in this, that we see a more perfect service in heaven. That we will gather together as a people and we will praise God from whom all blessings flow together. We will sing songs together. We will worship together and we will do it here on earth as well as we sing and we praise the Lord together as a congregation here in His sanctuary. Don't lose sight of this, that this place is set apart for honoring the Lord. That this place is set apart for us to come and give ascribe worth to God with our worship. That you and I would praise God in His sanctuary for what He has done in us and through us and for us in so many ways through His and in His mighty heavens that we'll be rejoicing together in there as well. And so where are we to praise God? The answer is everywhere. Everywhere that we go, we praise God. We are to praise Him even when we're in our homes and in our neighborhoods and with our neighbors and friends, that we are to continually be praising God. And so the answer is, the question for us is this, always, what hinders you from praising the Lord? What hinders you, what is hindering you right now from giving praise to the Lord for His, what we'll see here in the next set, is His mighty deeds and His excellent greatness? What is keeping you from praising the Lord? And there's all sorts of things that would hinder you. And I've already mentioned some of them, but the trials and tribulations and the pressings and the leanings in of this world, maybe it's busyness that you find yourself in this season. I would just encourage you, as you think about these things this week, that you would find yourself meditating, as I talked about last week, meditating on the Word, especially these words, that we would sing hallelujah, praise the Lord to God here in the sanctuary, here in His mighty heavens, everywhere, to the expanse of His kingdom. So our first question, where are we to praise the Lord? The answer is everywhere. The second is this, why are we to praise the Lord? Why are we to praise the Lord? We praise God for His mighty deeds. We praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Notice what's not in here. Our praising of God is not based on our circumstances. Our praising of God is to happen no matter. If you're in Christ, if you're united with Him, if you are a Christian here this morning, your praise is not based on your own circumstances. It is based on who God is and Him alone. And so we praise Him for His mighty deeds. We praise Him for His excellent greatness. I mean, we think about the mighty deeds of God, the things that He has done in creation, in sustaining us, in guarding us, in all of the things that we can look and find in the Scriptures about what God has done. The greatest thing that God has done was actually He Himself coming into this world to taste, as the song said, to taste our distress. To taste our sadness. To taste our darkness. The greatest display of God's mighty deeds was sending His one and only Son. We read it already, but turn to Luke chapter 2. I read 1 through 7. I'm going to continue reading in 8 through 10. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David in Bethlehem a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." One of the greatest deeds God has done for us deeds that he could perform, one of the semblances of his excellent greatness, that he has sent his own Son, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And in that will be praise and rejoicing, singing glory to God in the highest. It's good news for us. It's good news for us that Christ has come down. The long-expected, awaited King. The one who all the Old Testament points to has come. He has come into this world. He's all-powerful. God is ever-present. He's all-knowing. He's perfect. He's holy. He is great. But His mighty deed is that He sent His Son to be born innocent, to live a perfect and holy and innocent life, and then in His death to take on the weight of our sin for those who trust in Christ. It's the greatest news you could ever receive. It's the greatest gift you could ever have this Christmas, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you're here this morning and you have not done that, if you have not confessed your sins to the Lord, you have not repented and turned away from your sin, if you're walking down this path of sin and rebellion against God, I urge you to turn away from that and to turn towards Christ, the Savior who has come. The long-expected Jesus that has come into this world to take on and live in the world in which we live and to die a death that we so deserve, as a true and perfect sacrifice for us. He is the Savior. So why are we to praise the Lord? For the good news of this gospel. For the good news of what Jesus has done for us in His humble yet mighty deed. You know, I think of Isaiah in chapter 6. When you think about the holiness and the praising of the Lord, Isaiah, he sees the presence of the Lord, and here's what he says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim, and each had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of Him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When Isaiah was met with the glory of the Lord, he realized who he was in the midst of that. He realized that he was nothing, that the words from his mouth would mean nothing, that he was a sinful man in the midst of a holy and faithful and righteous God. So the question for you this morning as you think about why are you to praise the Lord, is do you see God this way? Do you understand the good news of the gospel? Do you understand the glory and the holiness and the perfection of God found in Christ? And you meditate on that. You praise God for that. And if you do, the question is, how are you to praise Him? So how are we to praise the Lord this morning? Well, we praise God according to this text. We praise God and worship with everything that we have. With everything that we have. We have an orchestra of instruments here. We have the brass. We got string. We got wind. We got percussion. We even got dance. So we see these orchestra of instruments. We see that they are used in the sanctuary to praise the Lord. So with everything that we have, with every expression that we have, we praise the Lord. I grew up in a small country church. Didn't raise hands when music was playing. We had one piano. No hands went up. I loved it. It was great. We sung hymns. We had hymn books. We didn't have a screen at the time. And it was fantastic. I sung out as loud as I could. People sang really loud. It was a small church, but they sang. And some good singers. And then I went to boot camp in MOS school. And I came back. And my uncle invited me to go to his church. And so I did. And it was a much larger church than the one that I grew up in. And so I go into the church, and I don't really understand the difference in denominations at this point. And so I go into this church, and this huge choir, and there's all these instruments, and the band starts playing, and we start singing, and then the next thing I know, people are running around. And I mean running around the sanctuary, and I'm like, what is happening? This feels very different than what I grew up with. I was in a Pentecostal church, if that gives you any indication. If you're familiar with the Pentecostal denomination, they're a little more expressive than we are. And so I was very surprised in that moment of seeing them, how they worshiped. But the one thing is true in both churches. The people in those churches, they love the Lord. And they praise the Lord in the expression that they knew how. And for us, that's what we want to do here. That we want to express our praise to the Lord through song, whether it's a guitar, whether it's a piano, whether it's a bass or a little cajon. No matter what it is that we use here, we want to praise the Lord. But the best instrument that you have, if you're like me, is your voice. And that's not very good, but it's still something. I can't play an instrument. I probably could do the triangle, but I'd probably miss the beat. I can't clap and sing at the same time. It just can't happen. I'm not that coordinated. I'd like to, but I can't. But some of you can. But all of us, no matter what, can use our voices to sing to the Lord. So how are we to praise the Lord? Through the words that come through our mouths. In the singing and worshiping here while trumpets are playing, while we're seeing lute and harp and tambourine and strings and pipe and even sounding clanging cymbals, that we would praise the Lord through every instrument that God has provided for us, including your voices. The interesting thing here in McLaren says this. He says, the broad list of musical instruments tells us that God wants every class and group of peoples to praise Him, because these instruments were normally played by different types of people. The horn was the curved, what's called shofar, and blown by the priest. The harp and psaltery were played by the Levites. The timbrels, or the tambourines, were struck by women as they were dancing, and playing on stringed instruments and pipes and cymbals were not reserved for the Levites only. So in this listing, what the psalmist was saying is that every class of people, every group of people, no matter low or high, from the priestly to the kingly to those who are the lowest of peasants, they were all to come together and praise the Lord together in the sanctuary and in His mighty heavens. And so as we gather as a people on a Sunday morning in this sanctuary, that is what we strive to do, is to use the expression that God has given to us to praise the Lord. To praise the Lord with our voices and with trumpet sound and with lute and harp. And if you want to dance, dance. It's okay. You can prove it from Scripture if you wanted to. So let's not be passive in our praising the Lord through our expression of our voices, through the expression of our instruments. Let's not be passive in this. Let's praise God with our voices. Let's make loud music together. Because in this, Jesus is preparing us for something, or this is preparing us for something greater that we will find in heaven. That as we come around the altar and as we worship the Lord, we will be singing the Hallelujah chorus. So how are we to praise the Lord with everything that we have? The last question is this: who is to praise the Lord? Who is to praise the Lord? I want to take you back to Psalm 148. If you'll turn or look there with me, so it should be right there where you already are. Look at what it says. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the light, in the heights. Praise Him, all angels. Praise Him, all hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, shining stars. Highest heavens, you in the highest heavens. Praise you, waters above the heavens. Praise the Lord from the earth, verse 7. You great sea creatures and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above heaven and earth. So who is to praise the Lord? Verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. According to Psalm 148, it's not just those who have breath, that everything that God has created, everything that has been instituted by Him, praises His name. I don't even think I can understand that. I don't even think I wrap my head around it. All I know is that He commands us here to let everything that has breath praise the Lord, and that's us. So if you find yourself here this morning, and you can't praise the Lord, maybe it's because you haven't put your faith and trust in Christ, I would just encourage you this morning to do that. That you would praise the Lord this morning by trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But maybe you find yourself like the ending of Psalm 88, where darkness is your only companion. I would just encourage you to start praising the Lord even in the midst of that darkness. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, that you would find something to praise the Lord. Because if you are united with Christ, you have something to be excited about. You have something to be hope-filled for. You have something to rejoice in. And you have something to praise the Lord for. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's do that together as we praise the Lord as we have breath. Revelation 5 says this, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And we have breath. We praise the Lord for who He is. So we praise the Lord in our gratitude. We praise the Lord in our lamenting. We praise the Lord in our already but not yet. We live in the already. Christ has come in the already, but He has not yet come in the consummation of all things when He will return and bring all things to Himself. I want to end in Revelation 19 because I want to point us forward to a future hope. To a future Hallelujah chorus. Revelation 19 is the last book of the Bible. Chapter 19, starting 1, verse 7. 1, we're going to read through 7. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For His judgments are true and just. For He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of the servants. Once more they cried out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and they worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great. And then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. You and I can rejoice here on this earth and praise God for all that He has done. Praise Him in His sanctuary in the mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty deeds and His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound and chorus and lute and harp and our dancing and our voices. Yes, all of us can praise the Lord together. But what a day of rejoicing that will be when we're in the multitudes of heaven and the sound of like the mighty sound of roaring water will be crying out from us as we worship the Lord, as we give voice to Him who is worthy, as we rejoice and exalt and give Him glory. We can do that here on earth in these days that we have, these limited days that are like a vapor here today and gone tomorrow. We can do it in expectation of what we will do in a future hope and glory. So I hope you are encouraged this morning. I hope you've been encouraged by the Psalms. I hope they have spoken to you along the way. I pray that as we end in a hallelujah chorus, that you and I can express joy and gratitude and an expression of favor towards God for all that He has done for us, especially what He has done in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, You are good and kind and gracious. Lord, would You encourage us in this word? Would You encourage us through the things that we've learned in Psalms? That they're not just the 150 random thoughts of someone, but they are now well put together to show us and help us to see that there was a long and expected King who was to come. And by God's grace, we see that it was Jesus in the here and now. But Lord, there's another day coming. There's another day coming where You gather all peoples to Yourself who are united with You in Christ. And we will glorify the Lord through our singing, through the songs, through our worship. Prepare us now for that day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The musicians are about to come up. I believe you were singing pretty loudly and well before I gave this sermon. But I would be more encouraged that you heard me if we would sing even more loud together. Express with our voices, worship the Lord.